أنه قال جربنا وجرب المجربون فلم نرى شيئا أنفع وجدانا ولا أضر فقدانا من الصبر تداوى به الأمور ولا يداوى هو بغيره صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
محمد. تبريك and congratulations to all of you respectable brothers and sisters. As we are celebrating tonight the birth of Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
15th, in the night before the 15th of Ramadan, is the birthday, is the time of birth of Imam alayhi salam, according to the famous narration. And the name of Imam Hasan, like the names of the rest of the Imams, is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we find Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that about naming of this son, and which I am paraphrasing all these narrations tonight in my own words, and Imam Ali alayhi salam replied that I am not going to take a lead over Rasulullah in naming him. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said to the Prophet, so when he came to the Prophet, Prophet asked him, did you name the child? And he replied, did you name him? So he said, I'm not going to take lead over you. So Prophet said, I will also not take a lead over Allah. So that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel with the revelation. And Jibreel said that say salam to Ali and tahniyat and tabriq to him, and that Ali is towards you having the same status like Harun had towards Musa. So name him in the name of the son of Harun. So obviously we know the son of Hazrat Harun alayhi salam was Shubbar, and narrated in both ways in the history, so or recited in both ways, and which in Arabic is equal to Hasan. So that's the reason that Prophet had named him upon the revelation. He named Imam Hasan in Islam with this name. And his alqab and titles are Sayyid. Well, Sayyid is ihtimalan taken from the hadith of Rasulullah, because we have Muhaddis Ummi has narrated that Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam had brought Imam Hasan and Imam Hussein to her dad and said to him that give some ata, some gift to my children. And Prophet said, Ammal Hasan fa lahu haybati wa su'dadi. That means as far as Hasan goes, he will have my haybat, my majesty. And su'dad means siyadat. It means being sayyid and head. So Imam Hasan alayhi salam had the siyadat and the haybat from Rasulullah. And he gave, according to that narration, his shuja'at, his bravery, and jood, his generosity, to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Hazrat Fatima replied that, I'm okay. And he's pleased with that gift. So, one of the alqab of Imam Hasan alayhi salam was Sayyid. And also, احتمالا it is derived from the famous hadith of Rasulullah al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyida shabab ahl al-Jannah wa abuhuma khayrun minhuma. Hasan and Husayn are the two leaders of the youth of paradise and their father is better than them. This similar statement you find also when in the incident when Imam Hasan was riding on the right side, right shoulder of the Prophet, right hand side, and Imam Hasan was riding on the left hand side. And Prophet said to them that your camel, Prophet is behaving, Prophet is right, giving them a ride like a camel, isn't it right? And also there were people who on the occasion of Eid, people used to make their kids wear new dresses and ride the rides. So Prophet is giving them the ride as a camel. And Prophet said that your camel is the best of all the camels. He's talking about himself. And you are the best of the riders. So, and then also Prophet said that your father is better than you. So obviously the fadilat of Imam Ali alayhi salam is obvious, and he is afdal and superior among the 12 Imams. And another laqab is Sibt, and also Amin, and Hujjat, and Bar, which means Hujjat. Amin means trustworthy, and Hujjat means an evidence of God, and Bar means a good doer who always performs good deeds. And Naqi is also one of the alqab of Imam Hasan alayhi salam, which is pure, and Zaki also having the cleanliness, and Zahid means abstaining away from getting attached to this dunya, and Mujtaba, this is the most famous of his alqab, means the chosen one. And we find that Abu Huraira has narrated about Imam Hasan alayhi salam that whenever I see him I end up having tears in my eyes, because every time I see him I recall that incident that Imam Hasan alayhi salam was a child and he came running into the lap of the Prophet, and the Prophet said he sat in the lap of the Prophet, and Prophet said three times that, oh my Lord, I love him and love the person who loves him. So even those who are, anyone who is loving Imam Hasan alayhi salam is a beloved of Rasulullah. So these incidents have been recorded various times by various narrators, famous narrators. And obviously if the love of Imam Hasan alayhi salam is not equal in its value to the love of Rasulullah and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet, why would the Prophet love them? That's my question to all of you. Our Prophet, the most beloved thing in his eyes was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? He never used to give preference to anyone or anything over Allah. So when Prophet is loving Imam Hasan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam so much, it shows the fact that their love is equal in its value to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it reveals that the walayat of Imam Hasan alayhi salam is nothing but the walayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mission of the Prophet is going to continue with the same power and strength in the time and the leadership of Imam Hasan alayhi salam and his imamat and walayat, the way the Holy Prophet used to lead the mission of Allah. So his love is equal in its value to loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Prophet actually loved no one and nothing except Allah. So this has to be realized when we talk about the love. Again, it's not an emotional thing, because there is no room for emotions in Islam. It's a well-thought thing based on concrete logic and evidences. Remember the incident when Prophet was there and he did five sajdas according to that riwayat. And when some of the Ashab who were there, they asked the Prophet, why did you do all of a sudden you start doing five sajdas? And Prophet said that Jibreel came and informed me that Allah says that I love Ali. So because Prophet got this wahi from Allah, that Allah loves Imam Ali alayhi salam, Prophet did the sajda in the shukr of this ni'mat. And then he described the second sajda. But people asked, why did you do the second sajda? He said that Jibreel said that Allah loves Fatima. So Prophet did the second sajda for that sake. And then the third sajda was done because Jibreel said that Allah loves Hassan and Hussein alayhi wasalam. Please say salawat. And then the reason for the fourth sajda is that Jibreel said that Allah loves those who love them. That means the muhibbin, those people who love these personalities, these five great personalities, Allah loves them as well, the lovers of them. And this is about the fourth sajda. So now what about the fifth one? Then Prophet said that, you know, that Allah loves, Jibreel informed him that Allah loves the lovers of them. That means those who love the muhibbin of Ahlul Bayt, they are also the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lovers of the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. So this love is an asset which is basically the asas and foundation of Islam, and it protects the entire religion. If this love is protected, the entire religion is protected. So every now and then there were incidents narrated by various narrators that Prophet expressed his love towards Imam Hassan, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, coming over his back and over his neck in the sajda is something that you all know, very famously narrated by various narrators. And not just that, but Prophet used to take Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam with lutf and love. Narrators have mentioned that sometimes your kid comes and you become upset. You take him off your back, or you express that you are upset over this. Prophet used to express his love. So there's nothing to be feeling upset about what they did. And he used to take them with lutf and love. And also it is narrated in the narration that the paradise also complained once to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that lima ja'altani maskan al-du'afa wal-masakin, why did you make me a residence of the weak and the destitute? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied back to the paradise. Well, the paradise speaks and the hellfire speaks, you know, everything of that world, it belongs, we call it alamul aql. Everything of that world belongs to the world of intellect. And it can speak, it can hear, it can understand, it can comprehend, and it talks. So Allah replied back that, are you not pleased that I have decorated you, your pillars, with Hassan and Hussein? And when paradise heard that response, it became pleased. So this is Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, is they serve as zenith and decoration for the entire paradise. So paradise gets decorated with their existence. It has to be like this. When their grandfather Rasulullah is the one for whom Allah says in Holy Quran, Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa. In the tafsir, our scholars have said that ya tahiram min al-uyub. Taha stands for, in the tafsir they say, ya tahiram min al-uyub, O you who is clean from all the defects. وَيَا هَادِيًا إِلَىٰ أَلَّامِ الْغُيُوبِ. O you who is a guide towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows all the hidden and the secret. We haven't revealed the Quran upon you so that you end up in hardship. So Prophet used to stand up throughout the in the night time. He was standing up till his feet used to get swollen with ibadat. So that kind of grandfather and Imam Hassan has, and his father is the one who has, look at his sabr and patience on the ibadat. And didn't we have three kind of sabr in Islam? A sabr ala ta'a, sabr over obediences of Allah, a sabr anil musibah, sabr from the musibat and tests that we face in our life, and a sabr ala ta'a. So sabr over the obediences of Allah. So we have three kinds of sabr in Islam. So Imam Ali alayhi salam sabr towards the ibadat of Allah is such that in the middle of the Battle of Siffin, when there are arrows coming, there's a shower of arrows coming, Imam Ali alayhi salam started to pray in the middle of the battle, standing and starting his prayers. And somebody said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, this is not the time of prayers. We are in the middle of the battlefield. And Imam Ali alayhi salam replied back, which I am paraphrasing in my own words, that the only reason we are fighting with them is the prayers. So basically we understand in the light of the hadith that how can Imam Ali alayhi salam compromise over the very reason for which he is fighting? The reason why Imam Ali is fighting those people is they oppose the concept of prayers and iqamatul salat and the obedience of Allah and the supremacy of la ilaha illallah. Whereas Imam Ali al-Islam stands for the prayers and the iqamatul salat and installing of the concept and culture of prayers in the society and obedience of Allah and the uplift of the kalima of la ilaha illallah and divine supremacy. That's the reason what distinguishes both them from each other. So this is his father, that was his grandfather standing up in the night, having his feet getting swollen, and Imam Hassan alayhi salam also performed, according to certain narrations, 15, and according to certain other narrations, 20 Hajj by walking on foot, and his feet used to get swollen. So this kind of grandfather and this kind of father will have a son like this, who when he goes for wudu, he starts shivering. Imam Hassan al-Islam used to start shiver at the time of wudu, because this is the time he's coming in front of, obviously we are always in front of Allah, but specifically in the time when you are doing wudu and you enter the mosque. When he used to enter the mosque, he said, Ilahi laifuka Bibabik, oh my Lord, your guest is at your door. You know, we have the famous, we read the dua that Ya Muhsinu qad ataka al-musi, isn't it right? Oh, Muhsin, someone who always does favors and ihsan and good, a sinner has arrived. Antal Muhsinu wa anal musi, you are the Muhsin and I am the sinner. فَتَجَاوَزًا قَبِيهِ مَا تَعْلَمْ لِجَمِيعِ مَا عِنْدَكَ. So you forgive all that you know about me for the sake of all the good that you have, for the sake of all what you have. So that's the dua that we read. So Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he used to. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam did sabr for 30 years in his life, with all that happened with his towards his khilafat, usurping of his right and haq of walayat, and he ended up saying fil ayni qazan wa fil sabartu wa fil ayni qazan wa fil halqa shajan, I did the sabr and wa fil ayni qazan, there was a spike in my eye, and a thorn or a spike in the throat, something of that, in those lines. So basically, how hard it was for Imam Ali Islam, if you have a spike penetrated into in your eye, how can you be patient? It's a 24/7 pain, isn't it, right? Or if you have a spike, a thorn in your throat, it's really hard, isn't it, right? So that's how he's describing his own situation. But for the sake of maslahat of Islam and the unity of Islam, Imam Ali Islam did the sabr. Same was the situation for Imam Hassan Ali Islam. For 10 years of his life, he did the sabr, he did the sulh with somebody who is beyond all the limits of Islam. And Imam Hassan himself has said in one of his hadith, according to that narration, Wallahi law wajadtu ansaran, I swear to Allah, if I found helpers, laqataltuhu layli wa nahari, I would have fought against him day and night. So Imam Hassan alayhi salam did the sabr for the sake of Islam, to protect the religion. And because of the fact that there were no supporters for Imam Hassan alayhi salam. So if we find that his mother gives away the food to the miskeen and yateem and asir, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just revealing one verse or two verses, Allah reveals the entire surah in the favor of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. And the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So we find this is the peak of the isar and sacrificing what you want for yourself and you need for yourself, your own food, which was not a very luxurious food, so just a bread. But they went hungry for 3 days in a row, and although they were fasting, and they did the fast on the next day, after giving the bread on one day, they were fasting on the next day without eating nothing. So this is the peak of the isar. In such an environment, if a son is raised in that environment, in that household, you can imagine, it's nothing of surprise if Imam Hassan alayhi salam, according to some narrations, gave away half of his belongings for the sake of Allah, and 2 times in his life. According to some narrations, 3 times in his life. Well, let's keep in mind that the belongings that Imam Hassan alayhi salam used to have were never more than his necessity. Let's keep that in mind. They don't buy anything more than their necessity. So everything they have is what they badly need. You know, because they used to consider the very basic bare minimum needed for their survival as enough. So Imam Hassan alayhi salam gave away, according to this narration, 2 times he gave away half of his belongings. This is how they are ready to give away, you know. Obviously in Islam, Islam is a religion of aql and intellectualism, isn't that right? We don't give away everything, so you end up begging on the street. This is also condemned in Islam. If a person gives away everything and then he ends up begging on the street because of this behavior, his dua is not mustajab and not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to another, that's what... So basically, Allah already gave him. Why in the world did he, give away what he had in need and ended up insulting himself and begging on the street? So... So we find that this is the Surah Al-Dahr, and also some of the scholars have mentioned in the tafsir that this is the Surah, despite the fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Allah is talking about in this surah, it is sent in the sha'an of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, and because of the respect of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam, Allah did not mention, even once, did not mention the ni'mat of Hur in this surah. And this is what our scholars say. This is the level of respect that Allah is showing towards Hazrat Fatima, that when he is honoring Hazrat Fatima, there should be no mention of Hur in that surah. So this is how you find the peak of respect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds for them. And it is the hadith which I recited. We are getting close to the end time. I had some more things to say, but I think let's go to the same hadith before I end. It is narrated that Imam Hassan alayhi salam had said that Jarrabna wa Jarrab al Mujarribun. We have experienced, and those who have experienced have also experienced. In other words, that we did not find anything more beneficial. And if you don't have it, if in the case you don't have it, there is nothing more harmful if you don't have it. There is nothing more beneficial than sabr, and there is nothing more harmful if you don't have the sabr. There is nothing more harmful for you than not having the sabr. In other words, this is how tudawa bihil umur, that means the things are cured with the sabr. That, so we learn in the light of that hadith that everything of your life is cured through the sabr, and sabr cannot be cured by anything else. See, Islam is a religion. If you divide it into two halves, we call it al-imanu nisfuhu sabr wa nisfuhu shukr. Al-imanu nisfane nisfuhu sabr wa nisfuhu shukr. If you divide the entire iman into two halves, this is the summary of our entire faith. You have to name one half to be sabr, and the other half of the entire religion and faith is nothing but shukr. Being grateful towards Allah. Having sabr and patience, and being grateful towards. This is our whole religion. It can be summarized in a nutshell in two words: sabr and shukr. And our scholars say, if you want to choose between one of the two, obviously both are part of Islam. We have to go for both. But if you have to make a comparison and choose one of the two, sabr is superior because of several reasons. Sabr is superior over shukr. And our scholars say in tafsir, one of the reasons for that is that shukr is done by a person so that he can trap and continue to hold the ni'mat of Allah that Allah has blessed upon him. In order to continue keeping that ni'mat with us and not to lose it, we do the shukr and we become grateful towards Allah so we don't lose the ni'mat. Whereas the sabir person doesn't have the ni'mat of Allah in his mind at the time he's doing the sabr. He doesn't care about these things. All he's caring about is the rida and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's doing the sabr regardless of the blessings of Allah. So when it comes to the shakirin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, about when it comes to the shukr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you do the shukr, we will certainly increase for you, in other words. So Allah will give you more. So when it comes to sabr, look at what Allah says about sabirin. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. So sabir people will be given their reward without accountability. So there is no accountability for sabirin. There is accountability for shakirin in Islam. That's not part of the ayat that I am explaining to you. Shakir people will be held accountable on the day of judgment, but the sabirs will never be held accountable on the day of judgment, because they were patient on every scene, every scenario, every situation that they face in their life. They were patient and they were doing sabr, and they were steadfast doing their istiqamat on the way of the fariza and duty towards Allah, regardless of any ni'mat or any malamat and condemnation of the society or the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand the concept of sabr and shukr in Islam and to practice this concept. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to follow the sunnah and seerah of Imam Hassan al-Mustafa alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم